Chuck's been there since the spring of this last year. I'm on the board of Mission Springs, so I have the privilege of being part of the interview process to bring Chuck. But Chuck's really a pastor at heart. He's been a covenant pastor for many, many years, at 30-some-odd years, I think, and he was a church planter up in the pastor up in the Sacramento area and stuff, and so he takes advantage of the opportunities to come to churches and bring the word and stuff, so thought about it. I've been getting reports about just other churches that he visits and say, well, I know Chuck. Why not have him come here to our church, right? It's a good thing, yeah? So that's part of the invitation and stuff. So I want to go ahead and just invite you to pray with me as we pray over Chuck and as he brings the word this morning. Thank so let's you. Pray. Mm. So Lord, I just thank you, God, for the amazing ministry at Mission Springs and the good work that you've been doing through Chuck and his wife Nancy and their family, Lord, and just relocating them to Mission Springs this year, Lord. It's been an eventful year, and even as they wrap up this calendar year 2017, just all the reflections of just the journey that they've been on, God, I just thank you that we can be blessed this morning to have Chuck here with us, Lord. So I just pray your blessing upon him and upon our congregation as we receive this morning's word, Lord. Just open our eyes and ears to see and hear what you have for us this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving. And thanks for praying for my wife, Nancy. Her name's Gail. So, but that's cool. I didn't know I had a wife named Nancy, but that's awesome. Yeah, she's great. But do you guys appreciate your pastor, by the way, Cameron? Do you guys like this guy and his wife, Alice? Love you guys. You guys are such a great family, and what a great support he is. Hey, Cameron, you should sit next to your wife. Yeah. What are you doing? You know what? As a pastor, I never get to sit next to my wife, and now I get to once. Does that feel better? Yes! That is God's will right there. Okay. Hey, well, I'm glad to be here. I have been at Mission Springs now since March, and it's been an amazing, journey as executive director there. And one of my callings to go there was, yes, I'm executive director of the whole camp and all that goes on. My calling is for pastors, and I love pastors, and I want to make sure, and I know, hope you do too, that our pastors are going to run the race, and they're going to finish strong, and not burned out, and thrown out, and all that kind of stuff. And we really want to create a space there for pastors and leaders to be able to come and, you know, meet with Jesus and get filled up and all that. So I'm excited to be there for that. But let's jump into the message. Would you take this out? It's found in your program. I also want to show you in my messages what I do is I also have, if you open up on the inside, I provide a thing called a time with God. And so what I do is I'm speaking today out of this parable of Luke. We're going to talk about that. But then during the week, you can take 10 minutes each day, and it kind of helps you reflect again on what we've talked about, okay? So let's jump into the message. I heard this story of a woman. She was in her kitchen. She was doing the dishes, and she's looking out her kitchen window, and to her horror, she sees her German Shepherd shaking the life out of her neighbor's rabbit. Okay? And she looks, and she just, have you ever seen a dog get a hold of something? And I mean, the dog was going like that. And she's going, oh man, this is bad news. We're already in a bad relationship. So she goes to the fence. She looks both ways, doesn't see anybody. She grabs a broom, hops the fence, goes to the dog, and starts beating the dog on the head. Till the dog finally lets go of the rabbit. And she's going, what am I going to do? And so she puts the rabbit on the broom, and she hops back over the fence. She goes into her bathroom. She throws the rabbit into the bathtub, and she turns on the shower head, and it's going on the rabbit, and she's cleaning it up. She gets a blow dryer, and she starts to blow dry this rabbit, starts to fluff it up, and it's starting to look pretty good again. And so she's going, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. So she puts it on the broom. She looks both ways, doesn't see anybody, hops the fence. She props the rabbit back up into the rabbit cage. She jumps back over the fence. She goes, okay, I'm good. Everything's good now. About 30 minutes later, she hears her neighbor screaming. And she's going, oh my goodness. And she runs out. She goes, what happened? What happened? And the neighbor runs to her. all of the blood has drained out of her face, and she goes, our rabbit, it died 2 weeks ago. We buried it, and it's back. I love that. Now, you know what's interesting? I know many, many Christians that are kind of like that. We can puff ourselves up. We can get our hair looking good, Dino, right? We get a facial. Facial's looking good. But we can look okay on the outside, and yet on the inside, we can feel dead. I had a friend, best friend. We were in each other's weddings. Called him up. Hey, what's going on? How's things going with you and your wife? Couldn't be better. Everything is awesome. Great. 3 weeks later, we actually get together for lunch. Hey, tell me, man, it sounds great. Your relationship's going well. What? Tell me what's going on. And he looked at me. I'm not kidding. He said, I think we're going to get a divorce. Really? 3 weeks ago, you told me everything was great. And now 3 weeks later, he goes, I lied. He goes, Chuck, things are not good. And on the outside, we want to present, we want to look good on the outside. And yet on the inside, sometimes we can feel dead. Jesus tells a story out of the Bible in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. I also put the verses up on the screen for you if you'd like to follow along. And Jesus tells a story of what's going on really in the inside. And you know what Jesus wants to say? And I want to say to you today, no dead rabbits here at Grace Church, okay? No dead rabbits. Let's really do what I call, the message is called, a heart checkup today. So Jesus tells this amazing story, and it's called a parable. And let me read this to you out of Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon to wilt and die for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, what's very interesting is Jesus rarely explains his parable. And yet the disciples came to him, and they were standing in this gigantic crowd. They pulled Jesus aside and they said, Lord, we don't know what you just talked about. We don't understand this story. By the way, this is what I believe. It's great that we come together on a Sunday morning and hear the word and worship and this and that. But there are times you might have questions, right? And is there a safe place to ask your dangerous questions? And that's why we have small groups, and we have your emotionally healthy relationship studies. Take advantage of those things, because those are the places where you can ask questions. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. Can you explain this parable? And he explains it. And here's what he says. This is the meaning of the story. The seed is the word of God. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then the devil comes and steals it away and prevents them from believing and being saved. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go down very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity, but the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message, cling to it, and steadily produce a huge harvest. Now, this is a parable about growth. This is a parable about growth, and God desires every single one of us to grow and thrive and be healthy in our lives. To be alive is to have the capacity for growth And there is something miraculous about growth. My wife and I, we found out that she had contracted pregnancy. That's kind of a joke. But we, with our first child, okay, with Stephen, we have four children. We have four children, one of each kind. And the first kind was a boy, all right? And that's Stephen. And Stephen was born. We brought him home from the hospital. I was struck by the amazing rate of growth. We brought him home. He weighed 7 pounds, 6 ounces, just a little guy. But he started to eat and eat and eat. At the end of the first year, he weighed 18 pounds. I thought, if he keeps going this rate, in 4 years, he's going to weigh 486 pounds, right? And that is just growth. Growth is a normal sign of a healthy life. But listen to this. When we stop growing, you start dying. And there is no greater tragedy than when somebody stops growing. I found out that there is actually a medical term for those little babies when they stop growing. And there's this term, and the letters are FTT. Does anybody know what that means? Failure to thrive. When there's a little baby that is not growing, and they're actually going down the other direction, losing weight and this and that, the nurse, the doctors, they will write in FTT, failure to thrive. The baby is not thriving. So what do? They will come in and they will go to great lengths to find out what are the barriers that are preventing the growth. Maybe it's a nutrition problem. Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's neglect. And they will remove the barrier so that life can thrive. Now, this is supremely true in the spiritual life. God wants you to grow. He wants you and me to thrive. God wants you to be able to love somebody tomorrow that you couldn't love today. God wants you to experience breakthroughs in habits that have a stranglehold right now on your neck and you can't seem to get beyond it. And God's saying, I want you to grow. I want you to grow through these temptations that you might have. Habits that are eating your lunch. That this next day and year will become less and less because you're growing spiritually. God's desire is that you would be able to pray more deeply, love more effectively, forgive more freely, and rejoice in all circumstances through every passing year. So bet by the time you breathe your last breath on this planet, people will look at your life and say, that was a life well lived. I don't know if you heard the story of David Cassidy. Do you know Keith Partridge of the Partridge family? Yeah. So he just died. I don't know if you know that. Right. And in USA Today, his daughter said his last words. Did anybody read this? Anybody hear this? His last words that Keith Partridge said was four words. So much wasted time. And he breathed his last breath and he died. Many, many years for him, he was consumed with drugs and alcohol. And then he ended up dying at age 68. But his last words, so much wasted time. That is not Jesus' will for your life. Jesus wants you and me to thrive. And that was the life he lived, and he wants you and I to thrive. But when he looked around at all of the folks that he was talking to, he kept saying, failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. So what can he do to break through this for people? He tells a story. He tells this amazing story, and that's what we're going to look at right now. Look back if you have your Bibles, and if not, you're going to follow along with me in your notes right now. And if you would, just follow along. You can take a couple notes. But Jesus began to tell this story, and he says, how can I break through for people? I want so deeply for them to grow in their faith. And everyone look up here real quick. That's what he wants for you too. He wants you to grow, and he wants you to thrive in your life. So this is a story for you and me. He says, a farmer went out to plant some seed. Now, this is real common back in those days. There was a farmer planting seed, and Jesus may have even seen a farmer planting this seed. He's sowing the seed, and he tells a story about three essential elements, okay? There's a farmer, there's the seed, and there's the soil. Now, when you look at the parable, here's what you need to see. When you look at the elements, which one of the elements does not change and which one of the elements does change? This is the point of the whole parable. Look at number one. The farmer, who is God in this story, does not change. This isn't a story about good farmers and bad farmers. In fact, the thing that you notice is this farmer is extravagant with his seed. He's just throwing the seed. So the farmer represents God. God doesn't change. The seed, which is the word of God, doesn't change. And this story is not about seed that is good seed or bad seed. This seed is the word of God. And the good news, if you give the word of God just a little bit opening in your life, it can plant deep roots in your life. You've been walking down the street and there's the cracks in the sidewalk and you look and you see blades of grass coming up through there. If you just give the word of God a little bit of opening in your life, God can just grow in your life. This isn't about good seed or bad seed. This isn't about good farmer, bad farmer. Number three, it's all about the soil. It's all about the soil. The soil is what changes here. Whether the seed takes root and thrives depends upon the soil. You can count on the farmer. You can count on the seed. But everything depends on the soil. And the soil represents the heart. It represents your heart. And so what Jesus wants to get at today, he wants us to do a heart checkup today. How many of you have been to the doctor lately? Can I see your hands? Okay. Really? Men? You guys, you got, good for you. Mostly men don't go to the doctor, okay? So I'm glad you went, Dina, and you look really good today. Okay. Welcome. Jesus said that some of the seed fell on the path. And in Palestine, the ground is super hard. This first soil represents, are you ready? The hard heart. It represents the hard heart. Let's do a little checkup today. Because in Palestine, the ground's hard and dry, and you can see the path. And Jesus says, some of the seed falls on that path, and because it's a hard path, it never is able to dig down deep roots. And so Jesus says this first soil represents the hard heart. And Jesus says if you want to grow, growth requires soil that is soft, ready to receive the soil. You see, Jesus understands how it is with people. There are many people who become hard in their hearts towards God and His word and His love. Often there are people who have been disappointed in life. They've either been stepped on, they've been hurt, and so they form kind of a protective shield, hardness around their heart. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me anymore, and God, I'm not going to let you into my heart anymore, and they become cynical, bitter, and Jesus says, when that happens, the evil one will come by and snatch the seed out of your life. Jesus says, you have to do a little heart analysis today, a little soil analysis. Is my heart, I want you to think about this, is my heart tender and open towards God, or is it hard and is there bitterness inside of me? A few years ago, we planted a church in Santa Barbara. And somebody has to reach those poor people down there. So we thought we may as well reach those poor people in Santa Barbara. And so we're down there in Santa Barbara. And I got the phone call. My mom had a stroke. She living in Laguna Beach at the time. I drove down there, and within 3 days, my mom died. And on my birthday, December 23rd. And I always say she would have killed herself to know she died on my birthday. But that's a whole other thing. But now it's become this wonderful day of just remembering mom on my birthday. Well, a couple months later, my dad is sitting in church just like this, and I'm speaking about the love of God. And I said this. I said, I think some of us need to ask God, to give God an apology, because we blame God for everything. I mean, I know people, they've been smoking their entire life, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have lung cancer. And you know, they go, how could you, God? Why would you do this to me, God? Right? I know people, we've eaten bad our whole lives, man. Greasy burgers our whole life. And all of a sudden, we get a bad physical, and we go, God, how could you? We neglect our spouses or our families, and things drift away. We go, God, why would you do this? And God's sitting there going, why do you keep blaming me? Right? And I think some of us, I said, need to offer God an apology. Well, my dad drove home that day. He was there in the audience. And he went back to Laguna Beach and he called me. And here's what he said. He says, Chuck, I want you to know, I apologize to God today. I was blaming him for your mom's death, and I realize that God wants to walk with us and through the midst of this storm, and I wanted you to know. Man, these are the greatest words I could have ever heard from my dad. My dad said, I want you to know, I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with God. Some of you today, you might be in that condition right now. And God is tugging at you right now. Some of you, you have a hard spot in your heart because of a relationship. You know what I like to say? When your relationships stink, life stink, doesn't it? I mean, when your relationships stink, that's all you can think about. And life stinks. And maybe somebody has hurt you and you're holding on to bitterness and resentment. Why not, like my dad, ask God to make you tender and to plow up the hard soil that needs to be broken up? Now, I was thinking about this. If you were a hard soil, being broken up and plowed, and you go to a soil and say, hey, we want to plow you up, soil, the soil's probably going, I'll do without you breaking me up. I mean, that feels like it's going to kind of hurt. But here's the thing. If you don't have a soft heart, the seed, the Word of God, is not going to be able to be planted deeply within you. And so there's good news for hard soil. The good news is when it comes to the seed, all it takes is a little opening. Just give the seed a crack, and it's stronger beyond your wildest imagination. We've all seen that. And some of you today, you have a hard heart. And I'm going to ask you to do a little soil analysis. Let's go to number two, though. Because the second soil represents the shallow heart. People back in Jesus' time, they understood this business about rocky and shallow ground, because all over Palestine, they had dirt about an inch, you know, deep, and then the rest, it was just solid rock. And when you tried to plant, the seed might, you know, start to sprout immediately, but because it wasn't a deep soil for the seed to go down to, it would eventually die because of the hot sun. And so Jesus is saying, growth requires soil that is deep. A little soil analysis. Is your faith recently been putting down deep roots? Deep devotion? Richard Foster, he said, superficiality is the curse of this age. We live in a shallow world. Superficial relationships, hurried prayer, too much TV, superficial commitments. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this, going down by a lake, and when you get to the lake, you know, you see stones out there, and you don't want to grab the rock like this if you want to skip it across. What do? You get one of those little thin ones, right? And have you ever done this, and you start skipping it across, okay? And I was doing this one day, and I got 8 skips, and everyone, wow, that's great. Got 10 skips, that's great. And all of a sudden, God kind of revealed to me, that's your life. You are skimming on your relationships. You are skimming through life. You're not allowing yourself to put down deep roots. And I guess the question is, when it comes to a little soil analysis, are you in deep community these days? Are you allowing your faith to be so soft that God's word will sink down into your life, or not? Because here's the thing. Trouble will come. Crisis will come. Storms keep coming, right? I mean, was it beautiful weather here yesterday? Oh my gosh, down in Santa Cruz, it was like 75 degrees. I was in shorts. You don't want to have that in your mind, but I was in shorts yesterday, okay? But storms keep coming. Either there's a storm on the horizon and it's moving in, or there's a storm that just passed and we're all going, oh man, I'm glad that's over. Or we're right in the middle of the storm. Jesus says storms keep coming. And if you have the shallow soil and you're not allowing the Word of God to take root in your life, when those storms come, Jesus says, your faith can wilt. And so a little soil analysis. Where are you at? Are you in deep community? Is there depth in your life and walk with Jesus? When was the last time you had a deep conversation, unhurried time of prayer with God? When was that last time? I hope you'll make a commitment to do that this week. My prayer is that everyone would be thriving and growing deeper roots in God. Well, Jesus said, growth requires soil that is soft, soil that requires soil that is deep, and then there's a third type of soil, and I would bet this might represent all of us here. I know it does me. I always think about when I do this message, where am I? I do my own heart analysis. And it's the third soil, and the third type of soil, it fell among the thorns that shot up and got choked out. And again, this part of the story involves soil that it's not soft enough. It's not that it's not deep enough. And I would say that represents maybe a lot of us here. It's soil that is cluttered. It's a cluttered life. It's a soil that cannot sustain the roots because it has so many weeds in our lives. And this is called the cluttered life. So here's the question. Does anybody here have any clutter in your life? Now, clutter sounds like a little small nuisance, but I would suggest this is the most dangerous of all the soils in condition because it's so subtle. If you're in that condition, you might say, well, my heart's not hard. Right? You went through that. I don't have a hard heart. I have a deep heart. I'm receiving that. I'm here on Sunday mornings. I go to the Tuesday night Bible study. I think about God during the week. But the most dangerous soil is the one that is the cluttered soil. And Jesus is so wise about this condition. He says clutter involves things like the cares of this world. What might happen? How many here worry a lot? Can I see your hands? You have a PhD in worry. Okay? Yeah? All right? And here's what I would say to you. Worry is stewing without doing. Okay? We stew on it. We think about it. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that mountain where God is the mountain mover gets bigger than God. And we're focused on that, right? And the cares of this world, they clutter up our hearts and we're not seeing how great God is. We're seeing how great the problem is. And Jesus says, where there is clutter in your soul, you will have a weed patch. And some of us, we need to do a little weeding. Think of your backyard right now, if you have one. How many need to do a little weeding right now, physically in your backyard? Yeah. You know what I noticed about weeds? Weeds never seem to say, you know what, we're done with this backyard. We're gonna go to the neighbor's backyard. We've sucked up all the nutrients here. We're gonna go next door neighbor. And no, they don't do that. You know what weeds do? Weeds have baby weeds. And they invite relative weeds to come in. And before you know it, your garden is just filled with weeds if you're not pulling out and taking care and tending the garden. And you and I, we all have to realize that we may be workaholics. And it might be choking the spiritual life out of us. And you're not able to love God and your family and love your friends the way you want to. And you gotta do a little weeding, right? I've heard it said, if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. Okay? You're gonna burn out. You can get so many irons in the fire, you put the fire out. And some of us, we are so financially overextended. We're just racked with stress over our financial situation. We have no peace about our finances. And we're just sitting there going, wow. And that's a weed. So, some of us, we have kids signed up in so many sports, we're single-handedly supporting the YMCA. Okay? Or the Parks and Rec. And I would say, man, as a parent, we had four children. Three of them were doing soccer and basketball. I was driving everywhere. I was going, this is insane. Okay? And you need to at some point say, we need to stop and we need to prioritize, because if we don't, we're going to hear failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. Some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but then Jesus says, where the soil is soft, where the soil is deep, where the soil is uncluttered, watch out what will happen in your life. And the fourth soil represents the good heart. If your heart is tender towards God and your devotion is deep and rooted and your life is uncluttered, then your growth will be unstoppable. It just is. You are going to thrive. Let me ask you a question. Who here sitting here today is saying, I want to thrive? Can I see your hands? I want to thrive. I want more of God in my life. I want to feel His love and joy and more peace. Let me ask you this question. In our world today, I mean, it's just crazy what's going on in our world today. Who here would say, I want more peace in my life? Can I see your hands? I want more of God's peace in my life. Now, true confession. How many of you say, I want that kind of life that Jesus is talking about. I totally get what He's talking about. But man, it just seems so elusive to me. How do I do this? Well, a friend of mine, a mentor of mine from afar, his name is Bill Hybels. And are you ready with the video? He gave this little talk. What time am I supposed to be done?
Whenever
I'm done? Good. I have about 9 more minutes. Okay. Is that okay? 10 minutes? Okay, I'll just keep going. Yeah. 12 minutes? Yeah. Okay. Bill did this little talk about how you go about sinking deep roots down. How do you go about having a life that thrives? And so this is called Coffee with God, and I want you to check this out. Watch this.
To make the time. He said, I love rocking chairs, so I bought a good one. And you said that maybe if you're going to make this repeatable and enjoyable, you should look at some scene or vista that you enjoy looking at. And he said, I've got a little backyard here, and I love looking over the backyard. So he said, I just bought this chair, and I put it at my favorite window where I can overlook the backyard. And he said, I got up a half hour earlier, 15, 20 minutes, half hour earlier each day, the last several months. I sit in the chair, I have a cup of coffee, and he goes, I read God's word, I try to make sense of it, I ask Him to speak to me by His word, then I meditate on it, reflect it, apply it to my life. Then he said, I write some thoughts down in a journal and I pray that I will be more aware of His presence in my life. And I said, how's that going for you? And his wife jumped in and said, I'll tell you how it's going for him. He's a changed guy. what happens to him when he sits in that chair has changed him. He's more centered. He's a more gentle and loving man in our marriage and to our children. I was very impressed with this, that he could show me his chair, that he had taken the time, that he had fashioned a meeting with God that he looked forward to, because he liked the chair, he liked the view, he liked the coffee, he was a morning guy, and he fell into this pattern. Many months later, I had coffee with him one time, and he said, I'm thinking about leaving my job in advertising. He said, I think I'm done with that. I said, where'd you get these ideas? And he said, well, in my meetings with God in the chair. He's been putting those thoughts in my mind. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, maybe I'll just help you build the church. I said, well, no one's getting paid around here, you know. And he said, well, I've done pretty well in advertising. I can hold on for a while, and maybe if the church grows, you know, then maybe they can help me and my family in some way. And I said, well, you better go back to that chair and see if God's really in this, because I don't want to take responsibility for your life and all this. And he said, okay, I will. And came back about a month later, and he said, you know, I gave notice at work, and if it's all the same to you, I'm just going to help you start building the church. You pay me what you can, but it's not a concern of mine. And this guy joined our staff, and I'm telling you, he was a hardworking, energized, joyful, industrious individual that really, really helped our church and was on our staff for many, many years. One of the best staff members in the early days of the church. Then one day he comes into my office and he said, you know, I still do that meeting with God in that chair, that rocking chair. And he said, God's been stirring in my life in my meetings with God. And he said, a friend of mine's starting a brand new church in Colorado, and I think I'm going to pack my family up and move to Colorado. I said, can they support you? He said, no, I'm going to have to go back into the marketplace and make some money, because they can't afford anything. And I said, are you ready to do that? And he said, you know, every morning I talk to God about it. And he said, I'm really fired up about it. So we said goodbye to him, and he packed his family up, and he went out, and he went back into advertising, made a lot of money, and gave most of it to the startup church. And it became a fantastic church. And then in that same chair that he moved out to Colorado, sitting at a window in the morning like he had done for many, many years now, he processed a bad medical report he got from the doctor that cancer had come his way. And he kept working, and he kept supporting that church, and he got sicker and sicker. It was a very fast-spreading kind of cancer. And then he was hospitalized. And one of the great losses he felt when he was in the hospital is that he didn't have his chair. And he died quite soon thereafter, and I did his funeral in Colorado. And I was talking to his widow, his wife, at the funeral reception afterwards. And I said, that was something about that chair, wasn't it? She said, his whole life changed in that chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? And she said, we are going to pass that chair onto our children and onto our grandchildren in the hopes that someone would sit in it like Tom did and have their life transformed. Simple question, gang. Where's your chair? Where do you meet with God? Where do you reflect on his word and open yourself to his power? Where do you become aware of his presence in your life? Where is that? And some of you go, well, you know, I mean, I don't have a nice backyard to look out on. It doesn't work for me. The thing about the unlimited presence of God is that you can meet with him anywhere. Your chair can be anywhere. When we first started, Lynn and I first started taking our summer study breaks in South Haven, that little town on the other side, we rented a one-bedroom cottage in the summer times, and so it was chaos with two kids in that cottage. So I would leave, and I would go to the Burger King in the morning for 30, 40, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. First booth on the right when you come in the door, Main Street in South Haven. I did that little practice for 9 years. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. I made some of the most important ministry and personal decisions in my life. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. To this day, when I drive by that Burger King, I look at it and I go, man, God met me there. There's a carpenter in this church that meets with God every morning in the front seat of his pickup truck, brings a thermos of coffee and his Bible. Half hour before the construction starts, he just sits in the front seat of his pickup truck, absorbs the word of God, meets with God, surrenders himself with God, to God, asks for direction in his life. A young mom that I know goes to Starbucks whenever she can. Corner table, meets with God. Where's your chair? When you meet with a friend, let's say for a lunch, what happens is if you've connected with that friend, after you leave the restaurant or wherever it is, you think about that friend later on in the afternoon. When you meet with God, you think about him more throughout the course of your day. His presence lingers after the meeting. Where's your chair?
I heard that message years ago, and I started asking, where is my chair? Where is my chair? And these days, for me to meet with God, when my dad passed away in 2007, one of the things that he had that I wanted more than anything was his green chair. I still remember Dad sitting in it, he'd do, you know, put his shoes on, he'd sit there, watch TV, this and that. But he would sit in that chair, and I thought, I want that chair. And so I have this green leather chair, and that's where I meet with God every day. And it's like a 70-year-old green leather chair, and yet that is where I meet with God. And I decided that's where I wanted to develop my good-hearted soul, is in that chair. Now, the fourth, do you have the last point on there? The fourth sword represents what? The good heart. And what I decided for me, because I know I didn't want a hard heart. I didn't want a shallow heart. I don't want a cluttered heart. I want this heart that is a good heart for God. And I realized one of the best ways I could do that is by having coffee with God. Now, when I was younger, man, I could stay up late. That's when I would meet with God. I can't do that anymore. I get tired at night now, you know. So for me, I meet with God in the morning. Let me ask this question. Who here are morning people? Can I see your hands? You're the morning people. You wake up in the morning, you say, good God. You say, good morning, God, right? You're so excited. Who here are not morning people? Can I see your hands? Okay, these are my people right here. And when you wake up in the morning, you say, good God, it's morning, right? And but here's the thing about meeting with God. You meet with him when you're at your best. You don't have to do it in the morning if that's not when you're at your best. And if it's at nighttime, if that's when you're at your best, at lunch, whenever that is, you meet with God. But here's the question I would ask you. And you can ask, start doing this among the church. Where's your chair? Where is your chair that you meet with God, that you're saying, Lord, I don't want to have this hard heart or shallow heart, cluttered heart. I want to have this good heart. One of the great ways to do that is cultivating this time with God. And God will meet you there. And I would ask you this very practical question. Where's your chair? Now, look back over this message right now. Would you go to the first page? And I want you to do a little heart checkup right now. Where would you, and keep your eyes on your own page, okay? Okay, a little test here. Where would you say, you know what, my heart right now? I have a hard heart right now. And that's an area that I need to talk to God about. And maybe with one of the pastors here. And I need counsel. I need something to help me with the hard heart, because I don't want to have a hard heart. How about number two? Right now I have a shallow heart. I'm running. I'm busy. My life is out of priorities right now. I'm not doing the main thing right now in my life. How about I have a cluttered heart right now? I just got a cluttered heart. And I do need to get my priorities in life. Or who here would say, I've got a good heart, okay? And I hope and pray for Jesus would say to you and me, he doesn't want to say failure to thrive. He wants to look at our lives at the very end. And not that our last words are going to say, I wasted my time like David Cassidy, but that we would say our last words, I lived the abundant life that God had for me, and I crossed that finish line, and God said, well done, good and faithful servant, son and daughter. And that's what Jesus wants for your life. And he wants that for this church. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. Well, God, thank you that you desire nothing more than for us to live a fruitful life. Friends, right now, with every head bowed and eyes closed, Galatians 5:22, God defines this fruit of the Spirit that he wants in your life, of being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit he wants in your life. How many here right now with your heads bowed and eyes closed would say, I want more of God's love in my life? Would you raise your hand right now and say, I want more of his love in my life? How many of you would say right now, I want more of that fruit of joy in my life, that fruit of peace in my life? Well, you get that when you're connected in a right relationship with God. And he desires for you and I to have it. And so why not right now from your heart? I'm going to pray out loud. You pray this from your heart on the inside. And why not just pray this prayer from your heart and move into this thriving with Jesus. Are you ready? Pray this from your heart. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I need you to plow up the hardness of sin in my life, to weed the clutter of bad habits, and to grow deeper in you. Pray this from your heart. Today, I want to follow you, and as best as I know how, I want to right now welcome you into my heart. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you, God. I just sense an openness here in this church of men and women that are open to you, that want more of you, that want to grow deeper in you. And I pray, God, for this church, these wonderful men and women, I pray, God, that today, that God, you would meet them where they're at, and that God, you would fill them, and you would plant your seed, your fruit of the Spirit in their lives. I pray for this church. I pray, God, that this church would not only grow spiritually, but I pray, God, that this church would continue to be used as an influence in this community. That, God, you would move through this church. It would be a lighthouse in this region for you. I pray you'd protect this church and the unity of this church. I pray, God, you'd fill this church with more and more of your Spirit. God, we love you and we thank you for who you are, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Thanks so much for allowing me to share with you guys today. God bless.